Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
Amen. Great singing tonight, guys. That was awesome. Well, we are at Thursday night of camp. Wow. Who thinks this week is flying by too fast? Yeah. It really is. Well, believe it or not, we only have 3 sessions left to finish the book of James. And then our last session on Saturday morning, of course. But 3 more sessions and we will be finished with the book. I hope you've enjoyed this series that we've entitled The Real Deal. How the book of James has taught us and will continue to teach us what it means to be an authentic follower of Jesus. And tonight we are looking at the end of chapter 4 and the beginning of chapter 5. Tonight we're going to be looking at some illusions, some things that people or the world will teach us that we can have and should desire and will make us happy. And so tonight we will look at the illusions of control and riches. But before we do that, I want to read something for you from the actor Jim Carrey. How many of you know who Jim Carrey is? Might know him from the live action, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. He's the Grinch. The Truman Show is a very, very excellent movie. And certainly there are many, many others that he has been in the past. Now, I want to read for you, a portion of an interview with Jim Carrey. Listen to this. In an interview, Canadian actor and comedian Jim Carrey spoke with journalist Jay Stone and the Ottawa Citizen of Canada printed the following remarks from Carrey. Listen to this. Jim Carrey says that earlier in his career, he believed that making just one more film, getting one more hit, would be enough. But he got tired of being emotionally disappointed. This is a quote from him. You just go like, yeah, it was a fantastic hit. It was a great movie. But what now? Carrey's advice. Listen to this, his advice. I think everybody should get rich and famous and have everything they ever dreamed of so they can see that that's not the answer. Let me read that again. I think everybody should get rich and famous and have everything they have ever dreamed of so they can see that that's not the answer. What we're going to read tonight in James is going to reflect exactly what Jim Carrey's words are. Did you get his point? This world will tell you that getting wealth and fame, that those things are what matter and will ultimately satisfy you or give you a sense of fulfillment. But your control and the world's riches are illusions that cannot truly give you what they may claim to give you. And so tonight, we're in James chapter 4. We're going to be looking at the illusions of control and riches. The illusions of control and riches. Let's read the passage together. James 4, starting in verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have corroded, and their corrosion will be evidence against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have laid up treasure in the last days. Behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you. And the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived on the earth in luxury and in self-indulgence. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the righteous person. He does not resist you. Strong challenges that we're going to look at. And so James tonight is going to reveal to us two dangers. The first dangers in this first section, and that is boasting in your plans. Boasting in your control over your life. Do you see what he said? Come now, you say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Here's our plan. We're going to do this. This is going to happen. No doubt. Yet, you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? Notice what he says next, because this is incredibly key. For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. Now, is the problem that James is addressing here, is he saying, okay, you shouldn't plan anything. Don't plan anything out. Is that the problem? No, it's good to have a plan. It's good to seek counsel and to pray and to figure out what God has next for you. But that is the problem that James is addressing. When you make plans about your own life and do not consult God, do not recognize that He is in control, not you, then we have a problem. When you say, I am going to do this with my life, without consulting God, without praying, without wondering what He wants, then you've missed the point. Because your life is but a vapor. You should not boast in a future that is not in your control. I shared with you already this week my story about feeling called into full-time ministry at the age of 13 and then totally ignoring that and saying, you know what? I'm going to do my own thing. I have my own plans that I am going to accomplish with my life because that's what I think will make me happy. I've already told you how that worked out. I had a near-death experience. I had a stroke, almost died, and God used that to grab my attention and to say, Matt, I have something so much better for you. My plan for your life is way better than your own. I was failing to recognize my complete dependence on God for everything in my life. And so, James is calling us to live with a different perspective. Verse 16, as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. Not acknowledging God in your life is a sin. Making plans for your own life, planning to do things your own way, is a sin, that is a problem. And so James is challenging us to have our life loosely, to allow God to do with it as he sees fit. Is your life shaped by your own desires, your own sense of what you want to do? Or do you say, God, I'm trusting you to direct my steps. I hold my life loosely in your hands. Your will be done. That's what James is calling us to. He is calling us to have the right perspective about our lives. Our lives are so brief. He describes them here as a mist. None of us is guaranteed tomorrow. And so we trust God. We put our lives completely in his hands. We acknowledge we are not in control. But praise God, we serve a God who is in control. And we can trust him. So we must not boast in our own plans. The second thing we must not boast in is boasting in our wealth. And this is something that James has already talked about previously. This idea of true wealth. The fact that the wealth of this world is temporary. And so he starts out this section in chapter 5, verse 1. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. Jim Carrey recognized that getting fame and fortune is not satisfying. James is telling us that getting all the money you could ever hope for does not satisfy because it brings with it so much evil and temptation. Your riches have rotted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have corroded, and their corrosion will be evidence against you and will eat your flesh like fire. James is saying having lots of money and boasting in that wealth is a very dangerous thing. The world tries to tell us that if you have all the money in the world, man, you'll be happy. You can buy whatever you want. Have all the stuff you want. That's not how it works, guys. With money comes temptation. Greed. Covetousness. The idea of hoarding your wealth and using it only for yourself. That's the temptation that money brings. Now, does that mean that all rich people are terrible? No, of course not. But they must recognize the temptations and the possibility for sin that money brings into their lives. Paul says it this way to Timothy. He says, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Peter talks about it in 1 Peter 5 when he talks about pastors and he says, do not pastor for dishonest gain or for money. It is very dangerous when wealth is what we boast in. It is very dangerous when money is all we care about. And so the New Testament is full of passages about that. Instead, we are called to something better. But notice first the misuse of the wealth that James talks about in this passage. He says, behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you. Do you see that? And the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived on the earth in luxury and in self-indulgence. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the righteous person. He does not resist you. That hoarding this wealth, pursuing this wealth, has caused the rich to abuse and harm others in order to get more. It's another temptation that comes with money. Basically, what James is saying is that the world is going to tell you, get all the money you can, as fast as you can, any way that you can. If you hurt people along the way, if you mistreat them, no big deal. So what? You just need to get yours. Instead, I hope that you see that Christ and following him calls us to a life not of hoarding wealth, but a life of generosity. Generosity is the key to avoid boasting in our wealth. So ask yourself tonight, are you generous? Do you seek to bless others with the money, with the resources, with the time that you have? One of the key measures of maturity in the New Testament, it's actually one of the qualifications for pastors and elders, is hospitality. Are you hospitable? This is something I'm very appreciative for my wife because she is very hospitable. We've been at UCC for just over 2 years, and very regularly it is our desire to have families over at our house, to open our home to fellowship, to prepare a meal for someone, just to show generosity and hospitality and a desire to know them better. We went through pretty much all of the church staff and then have continued with other families in our church. We want eventually to have everyone over. Generosity, hospitality, guys, is such an important thing in this fight against a boasting in our wealth. Are you generous? Are you generous? The reality is we are greatly blessed to live in the country that we do. We have so many resources and wealth beyond what the vast majority of the world will ever see. Don't waste it by being selfish. Instead, live generously. And so we are cautioned this evening. James says, don't be fooled. Do not boast in your own plans, but recognize your dependency on God. He cautions us, do not boast in your own riches. Rather, recognize that those things are from God and give generously to others out of your abundance. Let's look at our big idea for tonight. God is in control. There's a typo there. God is in control, and we are not. We must humbly trust in his provision. God is in control. We are not. We must humbly trust in his provision. Let's look at the example of Christ once again. Let's turn back to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We've looked at Matthew 6 already this week. Many have made the connection between the book of James and the Sermon on the Mount, and rightly so. That the book we've been studying is in some ways a commentary of the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus preaches during his ministry. So I would encourage you, maybe you've noticed how often we've been in Matthew 6 as an example this week. It makes sense. And so I would encourage you to read as you go home even. We spent all this time in James. Go home and read the Sermon on the Mount and notice all of the connections between the two. But we're in Matthew 6. We've already read verses 19 and 20, but let's reread them to remind us. Jesus says, do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Do you see the connection between this passage and tonight's passage? talking about the corrosion of wealth, talking about money being moth-eaten, right? Seeing the idea of laying up treasures for yourself instead of laying up treasures in heaven. See the connection? And so that's what James is doing. He is talking about these words of Jesus. And so Jesus is reminding us here that what we value determines the course of our life. Will we value the things on earth, or will we decide to live with eternity in mind? He goes on in Matthew 6. We're going to read the last two verses of this chapter. We actually sang them before I came up here. Maybe you realized it. But Matthew 6:33 says this, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Again, you can see the connection, right, between what James said and what Jesus is saying here. Do not boast about tomorrow. Do not be anxious about tomorrow. God is in control. Instead, seek first God's kingdom and trust and submit to his control in your life and allow him to lead you in the path that he has mapped out for you. Let's look at our faith response for tonight as we close. First, work for eternal things more than earthly things. Work for eternal things more than earthly things. It's been said by many, many people that only two things from this current world will survive for eternity. God's word, right, never ends, never fails. And us. That's it. God's word and people are the only two things in this world today, right now, this moment, that will last forever. Let that sink in. Therefore, it makes sense for us that our lives would be centered and focused on God's word and people, right? And so when we are talking about working for eternal things, that's what we're talking about. We are talking about reaching the lost with the gospel. We are talking about building up the church, the household of faith, encouraging one another to grow in Christ-likeness. That's what matters. And so every resource that you receive in this life ought to be used for those purposes. That's what matters. Number two, trust God and be responsible with your choices. James and Jesus are not advocating for, well, I'm not really going to worry about my future or what I'm going to do. Who cares? We'll worry about today. I'm not going to plan anything. I'm not going to figure out a career. I'm not going to, you know, figure out what college I'm going to go to. I'm just not going to plan. That's not what they're saying. What they're saying is, as I am planning, as I am doing the responsible thing and planning for the future, I only do so as I am trusting and praying to God for his leading and direction in my life. That God is at the center of my plans for the future. And so you may reach many times in your life, like I have, where you're not sure what to do next. But you need to plan. Those are times where you get on your knees before our Father and you say, "Lord, I need you. Please lead me." I will follow you with my life. And so I hope you've seen tonight these illusions that control and riches pretend to offer us. And instead, you will purpose that you will live generously for eternal things, and you will submit the plan for your life, your future, to God. Let's pray together.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into Scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.